This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, that was Reasons by Earth, Wind and Fire, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Shaoning and Roshan. Now, over in the US, the US appears to be facing, or will be facing, a bit of a housing crisis. And this is because... All right, taking a look at some of the situations in states like Arizona, you do have homes that are built. You know, when you look at them, they're really snazzy. You know, there's a pool, there's a little mini golf course, there are beautiful huge fireplaces, and these all cost several million dollars each. And the problem is that as these older generations age, and some of them will be moving out of these houses, they'll be downsizing, some of them will be moving into their families or into assisted care facilities, these homes are all going to go up for sale. And there is now the estimate that that the majority of these homes, about two-thirds of them, will wind up on the market before 2030. And with all of these homes going on sale, there's the question of who's going to buy them, because consumer trends are changing.
Yeah.
In the US especially.
I can imagine. I mean, well, it would really boil down to location, right? Because there is this, I think in every country, there's always some mismatch between supply and demand. But this mismatch is not even across the whole of the United States or even in Malaysia, right? So I would presume, like in US, certain parts, there will always be buyers, like along, let's say, maybe East Coast and West Coast. So you're talking like California and New York, where there's a lot of migration towards the city. Mm-hmm. As people, you know, unfortunately, the baby boomers put up their houses for sale, people will buy them. But what about for some cities where like it's predominantly old people, or perhaps there isn't such a vibrant job creation? Who's going to buy those houses? Yeah, so that would be a problem then, right?
I think the local example of that would be Penang, right? Because let's take my family, for example. When I go to Penang, it's only older people and young people below the age of 18. None of my family members that are in the millennial range are in Penang or in the country.
So even the revival of Georgetown hasn't helped?
It's tourists. No, but that's all touristy.
No,
right?
I know it's touristy, but are there local jobs created by millennials? I mean, who run the cafes? You know, it's got like, I do see some vibrancies. So it's not completely, absent of younger people.
But are those jobs going to be enough to pay off these expensive houses?
That is
right?
True.
So like personally, let me take a look at, when I look at houses now, I don't want a big house, right? My parents grew up in a space where they had three kids. So they needed a bigger house. They had a maid. I'm not going to have that many kids. I'm not going to have a maid, right?
And I like these declarations at this age. We will revisit this question in 10 years' time. But yeah.
Statistically speaking.
Yes, of course. Household formations are smaller now.
Yes, and the behavior has changed. Younger people don't want bigger places where they have to take care of. The cost of owning a house is significant. You've got to take care of it.
Because it's the cost. Because salaries haven't increased in tandem with the cost of living. So So my parents' generation and my grandparents' generation could afford to have a domestic helper on salaries that, in effect, got them a lot more at a much younger age than we get now. So, you know, I've been house hunting recently, and looking at some of the prices that some of the places that are within my price range, I'm realistically looking at living in a cupboard. Okay. And so, you know, just looking at some of these houses and doing the math in my head, you know, it's not just about being able to afford the loans on these houses. It's also being able to afford the maintenance and being able to afford the repair costs and all of everything that goes into the upkeep of these large landed properties that I just will not be able to afford within any foreseeable future, really.
Yeah, which is going to be a dilemma I think the US is facing, and probably Malaysia too, because you know, in the last 30, 40 years, there's been a boom of suburbs outside. I mean, not within, let's say, 15 kilometres or 20 kilometres of KL Central, right?
Mm-hmm.
Will that continue to be popular with the younger generation? Perhaps, maybe there
maybe
will be
around
some,
the city centre, it will be. But then you never know what we might wind up with a situation like Japan, where, as you mentioned, like, you know, these villages that are predominantly
empty.
They're empty. Because
and they're giving the houses away for free if you're willing to move in.
Because the younger generations, the working generations, are all moving towards the cities. And you're left with either the very old or the very young, the only ones still left in these villages. So it's going to be interesting to see how countries around the world manage this sort of demographic trap. Do let us know what you think about this. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Right now, we have a few messages coming up for you, and then we'll be taking a look at one-day shipping over on Amazon. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Feel Good Inc. by Gorillaz, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Shanning and Roshan. Now, it is just one day to Black Friday, which is one of the major consumer
shopping days,
particularly in the US. So, and we're also not long past 11/11. There's also 12/12 coming up. So all of these e-commerce kind of special days really brings up the issue of just changing consumer trends once again, because you're really seeing people moving online so much more nowadays. But of course, the big hurdle to ordering things online is delivery.
Is there a hurdle to online? It makes so easy, right? You just switch on your PC and click, click, click. And then before you know it, there's 12 items in your basket and you checked it out.
I actually prefer...
Which is so scary.
It is a hurdle because, like, let's say I want to buy something. Let's say I wanted to buy a new iPhone. I'd rather go into the Apple store and buy it and take it home right there. I don't want to wait 2-3 days.
Okay, so you are Mr. Instant Gratification. You want that good in your hand now.
Yeah, but also I want to see it.
Okay.
You know, I know I'm young and supposed to trust the internet, but I don't entirely trust the internet. You know, I've bought products from Lazada where they haven't been exactly what I wanted or they weren't great. So I guess for commoditized products, for things that you don't really expect much out of, okay, no problem.
Yeah, like some of our colleagues, I know they are big buyers of baby food and diapers.
Yeah.
On any of these
diapers
big days.
Is a huge thing. So when my dad used to work in the consumer industry, he said diapers are the biggest thing they sell
online. Yeah, because you definitely need, I mean, if you have kids, you need it and you know what to expect,
and
right?
And they're cumbersome to actually go out and get physically from a store, right?
It's standard. The size you already know.
Yeah.
So the example would be if I wanted a new Uniqlo black t-shirt, I could order that online.
Yes, because you already have
10 or 10. Something like that. I've got one for every day of the week at least.
But these retailers are really clever. I mean, they've kind of moved it a little bit forward, right? Mm-hmm. So now, you know, we used to have to wait like a few days, a week or two. Now
I
it's
think
down
a week
to,
is pretty standard still.
Now it's down to one day. Imagine that, right? And this is because, yeah, they want to fill that gap that you have, Roshan, that instant gratification. And we know this for a fact because Bloomberg issued a story last night saying that Amazon is hiring 200,000 extra workers for this season, guys. Just to make sure that the inventories are shipped out immediately. There's people working in the warehouses.
Amazing.
Everybody gets their packages within like 24 hours.
Yeah, I mean, it is the biggest shopping season
for US.
In the world.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. In the world, anywhere. Like, look at the amount of money people pour into decorations. You go to any mall and it's the best decorations of the year come for Christmas.
But you know, Amazon, I mean, if we drill down and look at Amazon, to them, they are clever because they use Amazon Prime. And Amazon Prime is all about that one-day delivery, right? So it's that hook, right, to get you in to sign up for Amazon Prime. But when you sign up for Amazon Prime, you usually sign up for all their other services. So it's not just shopping.
Yeah, so they lure you in with the one-day shopping. But then once you're already in also, they keep you in because they say, oh, you know, Amazon Prime videos, you've got specialized content, you've got some of these discounts that are only available to Prime members. But for me, I think this is also, I also agree this is very smart because, you know, just the whole action of buying things online is kind of an instant gratification process because you see it, you click it, and most of the time your credit card details are saved. So it's really like
And you're
two,
doing
three
it in
clicks.
Your pajamas. You don't even need to leave your
you
house.
You don't even need to leave your house. But then the big lag time is in the delivery. And sometimes when you buy on these major shopping days, you know, most small e-commerce players don't have the luxury of hiring 200,000 seasonal workers, right? So there is a backlog, and rather than receiving your package in 5 days, you receive it in like 3 weeks, and by which point, you know, you've kind of forgotten what it was that you bought in the first place. So it's not necessarily. I feel like that's where a lot of these retailers do fall down and lose people in the process, because when you say you buy something and it arrives the next day, you're like, great, that was fantastic, I've got my item now. Let's go shop some more.
That's really scary. Yeah, because it just encourages you to buy something else, right? Because you're so happy with the service. You're so happy you got it instantly.
And it taps into these last minute people like me who procrastinate on their gift purchases, for example. And then one day before, if I know that there is one day shipping and it's reliable, I will actually still get online and go buy it as opposed to going to a brick and mortar shop.
So procrastinators, basically, we are catering to procrastinators who want to buy their Christmas presents 3 days before the actual event.
And I also think we're like feeding to people who perhaps love shopping because you can get it instantly.
Absolutely. But do let us know what you think. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We are coming up to the 6:30 news now. But first, some music. Here's Positivity by Suede, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was Why Won't You Make Up Your Mind by Tame Impala. And you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Wang Xiaoning and Roshan Kanisen. Now, usually when we talk about trying to help the environment and trying to live a sustainable life, most of the time, recycling comes in is a big part of that, but the thing is that recycling isn't necessarily the only and the best way to go about it. Kind of on the front lines, right?
Yeah, we like to think recycling is the solution to
the be-all and end-all
our consumption problems, but it's not, right? Recycling is the last ditch effort because it takes a lot of energy and a lot of resources to recycle. And a lot of times it's very difficult to recycle because if the recycled materials are contaminated, well, that's all thrown out. So the way you, if you really want to help out, what you got to do is reduce, right? The three R's, or is it four? The four R's, right? Refuse first, then reduce, then reuse, then recycle. This is in order. Everyone go watch Captain Planet and educate yourselves, all right? Do whatever you can. And it's not hard. It's just habitual.
It's true. I mean, if you rewind 10 years ago, we used to take plastic bags without thinking, right? And then it was kind of imposed on us that we had to carry our own shopping bags. And honestly, now it's the norm. You go to Pasar Malam or you go to a supermarket and you see most people, I think, easily 70-80% carrying the reusable shopping bag. So it's a lifestyle thing, right? It's a mindset thing.
The next one is to bring your own reusable cup, right, for your coffee. So takeaway cups are a massive problem, especially the lids. So simple thing, if you go to a cafe and you forget to bring your cup, okay, buy your coffee, but don't take the lid. If possible. I mean, you don't have to do what I do, which is don't buy the coffee and walk away and get my cup and come back. That's a whole different OCD problem we need to deal with.
But, you know, you had this conversation with Jane Goodall, right, about the environment. And some people might poo-poo this, thinking, oh, what difference is it going to make? You know, you got these 15 tips, so what? You know, will I make a difference? And she says, everybody can make a difference, right, Lynn?
Yeah, I guess basically her point to address people who have maybe lost a little bit of that hope that whatever it is they do will make a difference is to say no. You know, the climate is in fact Mother Nature is very resilient, and if you do your little bit, then there is a significant possibility that the environment could actually kind of heal itself, I guess. So if you want to listen to that conversation, you can find it on the BFM app as well as on Spotify. But the reason why we're talking about this is because, as you said, there are 15 tips listed in The Guardian, and they range from carrying your own reusable bottle, forks and spoons and bags, to things like shopping from the bulk section, using your own containers, maybe even using bamboo toothbrushes or things like that, because it's just the awareness, being aware of all the little bits and pieces of plastic that actually go into our daily lives. Because for the most part, you know, you buy a toothbrush, you use it for 3-4 months, and then you throw it out, and you don't really register that is a piece of plastic that you are.
No, you then use it
to
wash your toilet. Loop.
Correct. That's the pro tip, right? When you're done with your toothbrush after 3 months, use it for something else. Use it until the bristles are gone. Obviously, don't use it for your body again.
Or
right?
Your mouth.
Get rid of that. But use it, and then I've seen people use the end of the day the plastic piece for their garden where they label their plants. It's like,
that's clever.
There is always a way to reuse the stuff you have. It's very important to just reduce first. So that's also, we were talking about e-commerce earlier. One of the big reasons I don't like ordering online is because of the amount of packaging that comes with whatever you buy. Mm-hmm. Right? I'd rather make that trip to I'm burning gas, but it's a lot less than the plastic consumption is about to take place, because at least the store has done it in scale and in bulk. And yeah, bulk food stores are a great place to go buy your almonds and things like that. You buy all sorts of things now.
Yeah, I think the main thing is when you go shopping, Or even when you're picking up your tapao, you know, your delivery, your takeaway, be mindful you don't, for example, the tip number one is easy. Just don't take the plastic fork and spoons if you don't need it. Just and use your own in the office or in the
do
house.
Do whatever you can possible and then grow from there.
And yeah, I think that's the key there. It's do whatever is comfortable for you first and then just slowly start to scale up. Because a lot of people will look at this, at, you know, things like, you know, the zero waste movement and think, oh my God, that's so difficult. You know, how do I do all of that? The thing is, you don't have to do all of that at once. You start with maybe a reusable bag, then you move to a reusable cup. As you get into the habit, you'll be able to incorporate more of these elements into your lifestyle.
Yeah, so 10 years ago, my mom and I started with just saying no to plastic bags in 2008. And today, we basically run a low-consumption household, right? And it is just starting. And that's why the messaging from Jane Goodall is so important. Hope is important because if people start believing that there's no hope, people won't care anymore.
Live fast, die young. Don't care about what's happening tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. Because the world is ending. Anyway, but do let us know what you think about this. You can always WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We are coming up on a few messages and then we're taking a look at the front pages of the newspapers this morning. So be sure to keep it here for that, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Crash by The Primitives and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Xiaoning and Roshan. Now, thank you very much for your messages this morning. We do have a number of WhatsApps on the subjects we've been discussing today. What do we have, Xiaoning?
We have from Ro, who says, as Asians, we were the original eco-friendly humans eating with our hands off a banana leaf. That's true.
Yeah. It's something that, well, disappears over time and easy to harvest. Doesn't require oil to produce. Yeah, banana leaves.
With our hands, most important. And Michelle also WhatsApp him. She says, you know, when it comes to recycling, what should we do with all those bottles? Because nobody wants it and it will end up in a dump site. That's true. We can be more mindful, but do we have a back-end recycling kind of process? That's the question mark. Because somebody complained to me that they want to recycle their glass, but apparently nobody takes it.
Yeah, and I think I had the same kind of question mark in my head the other day because I was at my grandmother's house and her condo has those three recycling kind of big bins outside and they were all just filled with everything under the sun and clearly hadn't been cleared out at all. So you kind of look at it and it sits in very plain sight, you know, in obvious view of all of the condo residents. And you know, looking at it, I thought, you know, if I was a resident looking at that, I wouldn't feel motivated to recycle because I don't feel that there is any take up on the other side.
So that's also a cultural thing, right? Because if people aren't using the bins properly, then it spoils everyone else's hard work. But there are places where you can recycle. I think opposite TMC in Bangsa, there every Saturday morning, there's a place that collects your recyclables.
Yeah. But I think Cheryl brought up a valid point in the WhatsApp. Also, he said the public can do so much for 3 hours, but where is the policy and support from the government?
Yeah, the problem here is that, when Minister Yeo Bian was talking about this, she seems like she's really gung-ho about this, but her ministry covers so many things. What does MESTEC stand for again? Environmental Science Technology, another E, and climate change. How are you
energy.
Energy. How are you going to manage all of that? It's a big ministry, and I don't blame her for having other priorities at this point.
All right, and we're also taking a look at the front pages of the newspapers this morning. And the NST has gone with a quote, the Chin Peng issue transcends race as he was colorblind when wreaking havoc. So this report continues on pages 2 to 4, basically discussing the issue of bringing back Chin Peng's ashes because and the fact that this opens old wounds for people whose families were torn apart and during the communist insurgency.
Yeah, and on the Star, the front page is what lies beneath, because apparently, I mean, we saw that social media, that yellow My V, right?
On the sinkhole.
Yeah, in Jalan Maharaja Lela. Well, apparently after that, there were two more sinkholes in Jalan Pinang and near Jalan Dewan Bahasa in KL. So it according to the Star, happens more frequently during rainy seasons and it's due to burst pipes. But this is the interesting part. So let's say it happens to you and this is what the Star says. According to a managing director of an insurance agency that doesn't want to be identified, if you have first party policy, the policy should be able to claim, but this of course will affect your no claim bonus. But if you only hold a third party insurance, then you will not be able to claim from the insurer at all. So be mindful of this if you see a sinkhole. I mean, not like you're looking for one.
I don't know how you can be mindful of these things. If it happens...
It happens, yeah. You know. Yeah, maybe you need better insurance. I don't know. But, mm-hmm. you know, these things... Whose fault is it? That's the other question, right?
Yeah. I've got the reserve in front of me. And they've gone with the serious headlines over here. So we've got the legality of Sarawak's petroleum sales that hinges on MA63. And this is something we'll be covering in about an hour with a lawyer. And we've also got FGV's director's fees have been finally approved, something we will also cover in about an hour. But something interesting in the reserve was in the middle. We have a report with Tundayam. The story about how there was no scientific rationale behind the NEP's 30% Bumiputra target. And he's not sure how they came to this when the policy was brought about. And I think this is in line with the whole shared prosperity vision. He's talking about how we need to be looking beyond racial lines.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting.
So his comments are also on the front page of the Edge Financial Daily, because he's basically saying that in order to eradicate poverty, we need to act as Malaysians first. But that is all that we have from the papers for you this morning, because we're heading into the 7 o'clock news, and after that, the business end of the morning run. So be sure to stay tuned for that. But first, some music. Here is Stoned Love by The Supremes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.